Many real estate agents across Australia confidently refer Property Insurance Plus to their clients as they recognise the price and benefit value of their policy combined with the client-focused service they deliver. They offer a comprehensive building and landlord insurance facility and have formed a powerhouse to present the very best in investment property insurance. Contact PIP today to find out more.
Welcome to the PM Collective, a dynamic hub designed to empower business owners, property managers, and BDMs to excel in their careers. Through access to intimate conversations, cutting-edge video training, mental health support, and unparalleled motivation, our community is the ultimate destination for individuals seeking to elevate their professional lives to new heights. So sit back, relax, and enjoy our next conversation on our weekly podcast, The Art of Property Management. I am super excited for our guest today. I have the lovely Debbie Regan. Now, we are in WA, so for the WA listeners, you would know Debbie as Debbie from Rewa. So, hi, Debbie. Thanks for joining me.
Hi, Ashley. Good to talk to you.
Now,
it's been a while.
It has been so long, hasn't it? It's been a while. Mm. And before we sort of get into your work with Rewa and, helping us property managers with all those difficult situations, just have a little, if you could just sort of let the listeners know what your background is. And actually, I don't even know what your background is. Like, from a real estate career, where have you been and where are you now?
Okay, I could really make up something extraordinary, couldn't I?
Totally.
But look, we'll go with the truth. For the first probably 20-something years prior to Rewa, I worked as a property manager. I dipped my toe into a few other things in real estate, but property management was what I always went back to. So for the last 11 and a half years of my career, I was information officer at Rewa on their information line.
And what made you move from your, were you property manager, senior property manager, BDM? What was the role just before you moved to Rewa?
Yes. So, yes, all of the above.
All of the above.
Senior property manager, BDM, general, whatever was happening. Yeah. I just basically saw the job advertised and I thought, gee, that sounds easy. I reckon I could do that. So I applied for the job and had an interview there and was offered the job and was there for 11 and a half years. But I've got to say, you know, thinking that it was going to be a piece of cake was probably a little bit ambitious because, as you know, you never stop learning in property management. So I thought when I started, oh, I know everything, that'll be easy. But no, I just learned new things every day. It's fantastic.
And I guess this is a bit more of a personal question because, like, for those that are in property management and have maybe thought of helping out on the Rewa hotline or wherever, whichever state you're listening from, you know, helping out with this, one thing that I have always been a little bit nervous about is not being able to answer the questions that come in. So if, and this is just for my personal thoughts, if you had a tricky question come in on the Rewa hotline and you didn't know the answer, was there, like, do you just research it and call them back? Or what happens?
Yeah. Look, I quite often didn't know the answer off the top of my head, but and people seem to think that I was the font of all knowledge and I just knew it straight away. At the click of a finger, the answer was there. It wasn't. I was surrounded by all sorts of information. So I had a very tatty old copy of the Residential Tenancies Act on my desk and a whole lot of other references that I could go to. But if I searched all of those and still didn't know the answer, then I could have just made something up, I suppose, but never did that. Always said, look, I'm not sure. I'm going to have to go and ask somebody else, and that's what I did. Yeah. So I didn't know everything. Nobody ever does. Nobody knows everything about property management. There's too much to know.
Yeah, and I think that's what sort of scares me from helping more, is because I feel like you would be expected to have the answer straight up. So, yeah, that was just a curious question. So, like, the people that would call up the REWA hotline, were they property managers, owners, tenants? Like, what was the majority that came through?
Probably the highest number of calls would have been from tenants.
Yeah.
Followed closely by property managers.
Yeah.
And then we got landlords as well. Yeah. Yeah. So tenants were the majority of callers.
So what sort of questions were tenants calling up? Because obviously they've, and I find this really quite interesting, and I mean, maybe you can share your opinion on it as well. So there is the tenants that would call on their, you know, off their own back. And then there's tenants that call because a property manager has said, if you don't believe me, call REWA and speak to them. There's a bit of that. And I mean, and I probably have done that a few times and said, listen, this is what it is. If you can find out any different, you know, let me know.
Yeah.
And see what they say, get that second opinion. But I feel like from a property management and a conflict resolution situation, that REWA can definitely, or any hotline, I mean, I talk about hotlines in general, but they can sometimes help, but you don't want it to get to a situation where it's getting too nasty. So it's good to be able to handle where you can and negotiate these conflicts in-house. I think it's always better. And in a way, use a hotline like REWA or your state's institute for a bit of support and confirmation. But yeah, I just hope that it's used the right way. You know what I mean? I hope it's not used with malice, because I think that if tenants are getting to the point that they have to call a hotline or have to call to get a second opinion, sometimes I question what the discussion has looked like from the property manager's point of view.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
And that was something that we were very aware of, the fact that we're only getting one side of the story. So, I mean, it was absolute gold if I had already spoken to the property manager about the issue and then the tenant rang me, because I had both sides of it. I had the property manager's side and, you know, what was coming to me from the tenant. It was always a matter of, I'm going to take this based on what I'm being told, right, rather than what my assumption is, because one should never assume anything. So I would take it from what I was being told, ask questions to get the right answer from the caller. So, you know, let me give you an example. The caller rings to say, I just got a breach notice for having late rent. And I would say, well, is your rent overdue? No, I paid it yesterday. Okay, so you paid it yesterday. Property manager, when was it due? Well, it was due the day before, but I paid it yesterday. Okay, so when the property manager sent you the breach notice, your rent was actually in arrears. Okay, you've paid it now, may not have hit their trust account yet. So for all intents and purposes, your rent is still in arrears. Do you get me?
Yeah, that's right. And I mean, isn't that such a classic situation where tenants feel that once they've paid their rent on their rent is paid? It's like, no, the rent's not paid till I receive it in my bank account.
Exactly, exactly.
And I've received it. Yeah.
That was a very, very common one.
Yeah, I was actually asking what the common ones were. Yeah.
My hot water system's not working. Okay, so have you phoned the property manager? Yeah, I called a half an hour ago and I still haven't heard anything. Well, you know, half an hour, it's going to take more than half an hour for a property manager to arrange to get your hot water system fixed. It might take a couple of days to actually get someone there to look at it. Oh, well, that's when it hit the fan, wasn't it?
But do you know what? I just feel like that's such a waste of your resources, having to deal with stuff like that.
Look, not all of them were a waste of our resources. Some of them were a lot more complex.
Yeah.
And I love the complex ones where I actually had to think and talk and ask questions to get to the root of what they actually wanted to know. And sometimes, quite often they didn't like the answer. I had one particular gentleman not like my answer, so he called me the C word.
Oh, gosh.
And hung up. Just as he was hanging up, he called me the C word. And fortunately, I had his phone number. So I rang him back and said, it's Debbie from Rewa, and I just wanted to give you the opportunity to apologise to me for swearing at me. And he said, what? Sorry? No, I wasn't saying that to you. I said, oh, that's fine then. You weren't saying it to me. That's fine. But if you were, I don't get paid enough to get called names like that, so please don't do it again.
Yeah,
exactly. That was very satisfying. I didn't do it very often, but sometimes, you know, after a long, tough day, I just thought, nah, I don't have to put up with that crap.
Yeah, no, that's right.
We all have those days, don't we?
Oh, totally, totally. I mean, the questions that came through, did you find that was there an even spread on them where, you know, maybe the tenant was in the right and maybe they had been given the wrong advice from a property manager, or was it quite often the property manager had done the right thing, the tenant just wanted a vent? What was that spread like?
Look, occasionally and not often, what they'd been told wasn't quite correct.
Yeah.
And in those circumstances, I might call the property manager and say, look, I've just spoken to your tenant and I think that maybe what you told him wasn't right. Sometimes they liked that, sometimes they didn't. That's all right. Just go with the flow.
Well, I would have said that was really helpful. And for me, like, I would want you to call me up and say what you said was not probably the right option. Yeah, I would have. I mean, I know that I would have appreciated that, and I actually
like Ashley.
I like that. That's also a very personal touch with Rewa in sort of doing that as well. So the personal touch, I think, is good. So yeah, no, really interesting. So when you did have those those tough days, I mean, like, we talk about property managers only getting called when there's problems, but you're like next level only getting called with problems. Was there anything like in 11 and a half years of doing that? That's really, really tough. Like, really tough. So how did you deal with it at the end of the day? Like, did you find that you were burnt out, or was there anything that you sort of had to do to really preserve your sanity?
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Today's wonderful sponsor is Property Assist WA. Shannon and her team are really committed to assisting property managers' workload by assisting them with outsourcing services like routine inspections, final bond inspections, and property condition reports. Keep your property managers doing what they love and outsource the things they don't to a company that thrives on positive feedback and guarantees a premium personalised service with a smile. The vision of Property Assist WA is to make a difference to the quality and perception of property managers, enabling you to keep your clients happy whilst improving the efficiency of your staff.
Well, we all know I like a glass of bubbles.
Uh-huh.
Look, really, until that nasty COVID thing happened, I coped quite well.
Yeah.
I perhaps just the nature of the person I am. And the good thing about the job I was doing was that I didn't have to take those problems home with me.
Yeah.
Unlike a property manager who has to deal with all that crap and it stays with you because you're still managing that property and you're still dealing with that tenant. Once I've taken a phone call, answered the question, cleared up the issue, I'm done with it. That's it. I can don't have to think about that again. That was the beauty of the job. It's like being a property manager, dealing with all the crap that goes with being a property manager, but it wasn't my crap.
Yeah, I was actually going to reference it's like being a grandmother with your grandchildren, but you get to pass at the end of the day, so you don't hold on to that stress.
There were some that stayed with me. The the sad ones, they sort of stay with you and take it out of you a bit. The people that are on the phone telling you they're going to kill themselves, those sorts of things weren't very nice. But, yeah, you got over that.
Yeah. Now, let's have a little chat about your book. So you kind of wrote a book, Ordinary to Extraordinary. I think it was back in 2017. So I haven't got my maths hat on. Was that, did you do that book while you were working at Rewa, or was this done prior? Yeah.
No, it was while I was working there.
And what was the motivation behind doing that?
I think it was probably came around because of all the conversations I'd had with property managers, and I just felt that some of them needed that bit of personal advice or information just to help them cope better with what they were doing, learn a bit more about how they could do it better, that sort of thing. I loved writing that book. It was such a joy. It was such fun to write it, and it came so easily.
Yeah, how good. So for those that don't have a copy of the book, it's called Ordinary to Extraordinary, Property Managers, Time to Get Serious About Your Careers. And it's a book of tips and ideas to turn an ordinary job into an extraordinary career. And I love that, because I think property managers need to see property management as a career and not as a job, and take a bit of pride, just like sales reps, you know what I mean, take pride in their job. Property managers, I think, need to up the ante when it comes to the value that they give to the industry and their clients, charging appropriately and acting appropriately as a professional industry, no different to finance brokers and stockbrokers and sales reps. Like, we put them all in a certain stereotype. And for some reasons, property managers don't sit in that category.
No.
They sit under. And I don't know why. I mean, it's definitely a perception. I think we're changing that. But, yeah, that book resonated with me of the importance of people doing that. So, I mean,
Well, there's a chapter in the book where I actually compare what a property manager does to what a sales rep does. And I have great respect for sales reps. I was one, and that was a fantastic job. But I did a little rundown on this is what a sales rep does. They get the listing, they advertise it, they get a buyer, they sell it, job done, they get their commission. Property manager, on the other hand, does about three times as much as them and gets very little recognition for what they've done. I think that's changing. I do think that certainly as the pay rate is increasing, perhaps the business owners are showing a little more respect for what a property manager actually does, because they're paying them a hell of a lot more than they ever did. But property managers need to also be proud of what they do, and never call themselves just a property manager, which is, what it was. They were the girls out the back that collected the rent, and that's how they were perceived. So they need to step forward and say, that's not just what we do, this is what we do.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, and again, no hate to sales reps, but they've got it pretty easy at the moment. I mean, they're
hell yeah,
without even home opens. I was telling someone the other day, I said, I worry for these sales reps because they're going to forget how to sell and how to market. And when the market changes and they have now got properties on for 6 weeks and there's price adjustments and all of that, they're not going to know the people's skills on how to do that, because they're so used to it just happening so easily for them. Yet the property manager's role, yes, we're leasing them easy, but gosh, even the application process is very tiring at the moment when deciding who's going to be the best person for the property.
Yeah.
And then just, the ongoing stuff. I mean, the last sort of couple of months, like, my team have had to be dealing with mental health nurses and psych units because the tenant's been, put in there, and, just trying to coordinate how to get their stuff, just stupid stuff that shouldn't be their responsibility but falls, on a property manager's shoulders to like coordinate. We've got another one where the owner's passed away and the children are, you know, overseas, and they have no idea what to do. They're like, can you please help me? What do I do? How do I get the property in my name? Here's the will. Mm. You know, just even stuff like that, that you're now having to help them. Okay, you need to speak to this person and that person, and you need to produce this document. There's just so much. And when I went to the US last year, it was really interesting. Like, property managers over there have the same problems as ours here. I, for some reason, thought that it would be a lot different, but it's not really a lot different, same problems. But what the difference I really liked was that when in the US, when a tenant is in arrears and they've been sent their default notices, then in WA, where we would then apply to court and the magistrate would do vacant possession, etc., over there, it gets handed to a lawyer. So basically, there's lawyers that do the eviction process. So wow. What is the owner pays whatever the fee is. Maybe it's like a set $1,000 to the lawyer. The lawyer does the termination or the eviction process with the tenant, with the court, you know, all of that. And I really loved that, because I was like, you know, here our property managers are now having to be legal experts going to court, you know, dealing with all of this, attending with the bailiff, where, yeah, over in the US, it was just handed to a lawyer at that point. The lawyer handles it. The owner pays the legal fees and, you know, it comes back to you and you rent it out again. So the response, I think the job of a property manager, we just continuously have new expectations piled up on us every year with new things that come up. So the responsibilities and their job roles are, becoming very professional.
I think it's very important that property managers empower themselves with knowledge. You can never have too much knowledge. So, you know, you talked about mental health. When I was at REWA, I actually did a mental health course that sort of gave an idea of how to deal with someone who is going through a mental health issue. And it was absolutely fantastic. And I actually used that in my role at REWA, talking on the phone, particularly with people who clearly had a mental health issue. So it gave you the language to use with them, the words to use, which I found very helpful. But I think things like even as far as maintenance goes, and you're going to think, Jesus, Debbie, that's not a property manager's job. Learn the different kinds of lawns there are. Learn a little bit about how to fix a retic system. Light globes, what sort of light globes should people use? What sort of cleaning products should they use on specific surfaces in the property? You know, empower yourself with that knowledge. It's something that perhaps the other property manager at the other real estate agent isn't as good at. And you can, when you're speaking to the owner about work that needs done at the property, you can actually use the proper terminology. You don't have to be an expert, because nobody's an expert, but just learning those things that are going to be important for you and make you not sound like a dumbass, I guess, sound like you actually know what you're talking about.
Yeah, totally. And I think that that's something I used to do it a lot. I probably actually haven't done it for a while, but I should get into it, is we used to have different tradies come to the office. And this would be a good tip for any department managers with your staff meetings, is one great contractor to have in your office is a pest control person. And they can talk to you about the different types of cockroaches, for example. And there's the white ones, there's the little brown ones. And if you get some education on that, so when a tenant calls you, sends you a photo to say, oh, we've got a cockroach infestation, you can say, okay, what does it look like? Is it the little brown one? Is it the, you know, German one? Is it the black one? And then you can sort of, because you then know what type of cockroach is, you also know what causes it. So some of them are caused, you know, by tenancies, or have, you know, you could say to the tenant, have you recently purchased a new fridge secondhand? You know what I mean? Like, okay. Yep. But having those troubleshooting questions is really good. And then going to the owner as more of an as an expert, but not an expert, but going to them to say, listen, just so you know, they've complained of cockroaches. I found out that it's this type of cockroach, which is generally caused by this and this and this. So this would be the best option for us to deal with it. So it means that you're going to a client with more confidence. And instead of, which, and this is one of my pet hates that property managers do, instead of like some people forward email from a tenant onto an owner. And like,
I know,
I see it all the time. And where they just put, please see below from the tenant, what would you like me to do? And no, people, that's not how we deal with maintenance.
No. So how much better would it be to contact the owner and say, we've been contacted by the tenant. They've reported that this cockroach is in the property. I've asked them some questions. This is what I believe it is. You just sound so much more like you know what you're doing. You're doing your job.
Yeah. I've got a client where I've had him since my last, before SoCo days. He's a client that's always stayed with me, and he's quite a high profile client, and he has always. In the very, very early days, we've had discussions about communication and how to do it. And so I use this methodology for all emails where it's you say, dear Mr. Owner, you state the problem. That's cockroaches. You say, these are the two options that we've got. This is what I recommend. And so that is a really great way because you're stating the problem. You're giving the owner two choices. And then you're telling them what you would recommend because it's really important also as a property manager that we also show our expertise where we can to say this is the reason why I would go with option one because of da-da-da-da. So that's how I try to approach emails. And, yeah, it's just little things like that creates a more professional industry and for us to be perceived as a more professional industry and not just that transactional middleman that sometimes the public thinks we are.
Yeah. It's something I used to say to property managers a lot, and it was one of those aha moments, was they would ring me and they would say, I've got this problem and I don't know what to do and something's broken and, you know, I don't know what to do about it. It's going to cost this much. And I used to say to them, it's not your property. It's not your decision. So. Yeah. You're getting yourself all worked up about what the decision should be in regard to this matter. And really all you need to do is put all of this information to the owner and say, what is your instruction?
Yeah.
Oh. Act on the owner's instruction. It's not up to you to decide what needs to be done. It's their house. It's their decision, not yours. You know, and a lot of property managers would go, oh, yeah, that makes sense. Good.
Yeah. I need to write that on one of my team members' desks at the moment because we were talking yesterday. We've got a situation. This is one of this mental health tenants. He's now at the property, got to quite a dangerous sort of situation. So he's out and the owner is very, very, he's a retired guy, very humble and very relaxed. And I can't ever say the word
philanthropic.
That's the one. Sorry, I can never say it. That one. And so he goes, I had a chat to him yesterday about it, and he goes, Ash, you know, she wants to go to court and she wants to do this and that, but there's no point putting more stress on him. You know, he's not going to be able to pay it back. It's not good for his mental health, da-da-da-da. And what I had said to my property manager is a sort of similar, is that it's his property. If he doesn't want us to persevere with debt collecting and this and that, then we don't do it. But we've told him that if he wants us to do it, we will do it. But at the end of the day, if he doesn't want it done, he doesn't want it done. So
it's sure you get that instruction in writing.
I think, exactly. So it doesn't come back and bite you
in the bum.
Exactly. So it's, and that's a classic multiple landlord mentality where they just, they just think, oh, listen, I've had a good run. You know, these things happen and I don't have to deal with them very often. So they just, you write it off. So it's a great thing to remember. It's not your property. It's not your decision. So I think that's what I might call this title of this podcast, actually. I think that's a good one. And I just wanted just to quickly go back to your mention of that mental health first aid training. I've done that as well. It's fantastic for any office that hasn't had their team do it. I do highly recommend it. I did it because I do struggle a little bit understanding mental health, and I did struggle, if I'm completely honest, like how it happens and why people can't just snap out of it. And I know that's wrong, but that's just how I used to think. So I did it so I could get a better understanding and insight into why and how and things like that. So for me, it was very beneficial and very eye-opening in that I didn't understand how direct with your language it's okay to be. Yeah, I thought you would, like, you know, you shouldn't talk about it, you shouldn't do this, where it's like, no, you actually need to be quite with your language. I just found that was really interesting. So
is that the suicide bit where you say to them, are you thinking of killing yourself?
Yeah.
I know.
That's funny.
I actually said that to people on the phone when they phoned up and they've been talking about that. I've actually asked that question. It's very confronting. It's a very hard question to ask.
Yeah.
There's only a yes or no answer, isn't there?
Correct. And another thing that was an eye-opener for me is it used a case study of, you know, you've got a school mum who you can see is struggling, recognizing things inside the house, like, you know, hoarding or whatever it may be, and noticing that there's some serious concerns. And, you know, what would you do? And I was like, oh, you'd offer to take the kids home from school for a play date. You know what I mean? I'm thinking of all these. And they actually said to me, no, you don't want to leave this lady alone in her house without her children there, because this could happen and that could happen.
Yep.
I remember thinking, wow, I didn't even think of that. I just thought I'd help her out by taking her children for the day or for the night to give her a couple of days break. And they're like, no, that's actually could also have a real negative impact. So just things And not only does it benefit the property manager in their role, and I mean, there can't be one property manager around that hasn't had to deal with a mental health issue with a client, but also just personally as well, and making sure personally your family, you know, you guys are all healthy as well, especially when you're dealing in a very service-driven role.
I think it's very important as far as keeping an eye on your work colleagues as well.
Yeah.
You know, correct. You're there with them probably more than their family and friends are. You're with them, you know, all 5 days a week from 9 till 5. And if all of a sudden you see a change in what they're doing or you know, that's the time to step in and say, you know, the good old, are you okay? Take those steps to make sure that your work colleagues are okay, because it's such a stressful job and so much impacts the property manager that they need to know they've got a group of people around them that are going to look out for them and watch out for those things.
Yeah, 100%. Well, Debbie, it was an absolute privilege to speak to you today. It was lovely to chat, and thank you for everything that you do and those valuable insights as well. And I look forward to maybe doing another one with you. So we'll chat about some other topics as well. Maybe we could do something like secrets of a property manager I've been wanting to do for a while, where like we get that juicy stuff, you know.
Yeah. Don't know. I do have some books left if anyone else would like to buy one.
Oh, wonderful. Oh, that'll be great. So if anyone is interested in buying a copy of that book, I will make sure that Deb's details are on the script notes for this podcast so that you can reach out for her. I think it would be a fantastic book to have in your office. So the link will be in the script notes, and I will talk to you soon.
Thanks, Ashley. It's lovely to talk to you. It's been fun.
OnTap Plumbing and Gas covers all Perth areas from Mandurah to Toorox and has a team of plumbing, drainage and hot water experts. They have an amazing reputation for their excellent service and quality workmanship on time, every time, and it is easy to see why they are a favourite to many Perth property managers. Whether you just need some friendly advice or an obligation-free quote, look no further than OnTap Plumbing and Gas.